This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Thank you for tuning us in. We're glad you're in our audience. We trust this program will again be a blessing and a help to you. Now, again, if you'd like to contact me, I will remind you that I'll give you my mailing address and website address at the close of the program, and you can contact me either by email, the email address is on the website, or you can contact me by regular mail, and we'd be happy to take your prayer requests or your comments on the program. This program can be re-listened to on the website, as well as you can also find a weekly meditation and other helpful information there that I think will be helpful to you. Now, we're doing a survey, really, of the Bible, trying to put the books of the Bible in their context, and we're trying to give you some help with regard to the background and the meaning and the reason that the particular book was written. We know that some were written to record history, and some, as we've looked at, are books of worship, and some of them we know are prophetic. But nevertheless, as we look at these different books, it is my belief that if you are truly saved, and if you you have been healed with sealed with the Holy Spirit, that these words that are written in this book, with some help from perhaps other translations and some commentaries, perhaps some dictionaries, these books can be understood by you. I fear that much of the teaching that we're giving on the internet, teaching that we're giving in our colleges, teaching that we're giving in our churches, is indoctrination rather than teaching. We know that when it comes to our earthly lives, we're told that if you give a person a fish, you feed him for a day. If you teach him how to fish, you feed him for a lifetime. And I feel that when it comes to our spiritual relationship with the Lord, most of the most of what we are providing for the people who are truly saved is the fish for a day. And they say they're getting fed on a half-hour sermon on Sunday morning, or perhaps on YouTube sermons, but nevertheless, or they're looking at their podcasts, but nevertheless, to actually read the Bible and have confidence that God can speak to them personally, I do not believe we're giving most people confidence that that's the truth. And there are people who read their Bible devotionally, and I realize that everyone is not like me who likes to sit down and study through things. I understand that. But I do think that after we're saved, there should be a desire on our part to listen to the voice of the Lord for ourselves. And I'm just trying to whet your appetite as I go through these surveys, so that you yourself will sit down and believe that you can, for yourself, understand what has been written in the Bible. Now, I'm usually quoting from either the King James or the New King James Version. I know that there are many that listen to me that would prefer I just stick with the King James Version, but some of the wording is very archaic in the King James Version, so I think you just about have to, in our day, look at some other versions for comparison purposes and to get a sense of what the words really mean. But if you do that, I believe that you are able to believe and understand what the Bible says. There's a lot of differences of opinion as to what the Bible says, and it goes right back to the basic belief as to how you're saved or born again. We know that the main purpose of our Bible is to glorify God, and we don't glorify God until we have understood our sinnership and have understood that Christ died to save us from the penalty that our sins deserved. And we need to get back to a basic understanding of what it means to repent and believe. And many of the models that are being used to help people come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ are simply unbiblical. And I'm not here to go through them right now, but I want people to understand. I want my listeners, I want you who are listening to me today, to understand that if you're saved, you've had a time in your life when you realized you were not saved and you needed to be saved because you were a sinner and you are a sinner. And that's what it means to repent. You need to give up your arguments You need to give up your own reasonings. You need to give up your own doings. And you need to be brought to a point where you rest wholly on what God says when he says that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Paul says, of whom I am chief. And so the whole purpose of my dissertation on these different books is simply to encourage you to read the Bible for yourself. When you meet God, I don't believe you're going to be able to say, well, my pastor said, and assume that that's going to make God happy. You're going to have to say, the Bible said. And I often ask people, if you were to meet the Lord at the pearly gates and he were to ask you why you belong in heaven, I hope you wouldn't say, it's because of something my pastor told me to do. It's because of something that I did. I hope you would say, I don't deserve to be here, but you said that the Lord Jesus died for my sins, and I have trusted in that, and I am believing that that is my ticket into the pearly gates. And so, dear friend, let's look today at the book of Proverbs. We have looked at Psalms that was primarily, not completely, but primarily identified with King David. Now, when we come to Proverbs, we're looking at a book that is primarily identified with Solomon. Now, King Solomon was the son of David, and in many respects, he represents the glory of a kingdom that is coming, the millennial kingdom. Solomon, when he was young, asked the Lord for wisdom, and the Lord gave it to him. But Solomon also was given, or took many wives. He was given wealth, and he was given horses, and these were things that they were told when they got a king that the king should not ask for, because if you get wealth, you get a sense of power that perhaps keeps you from relying wholly upon the Lord your God who put you on the throne. If you have a multitude of wives, as Solomon did, you'll find out that in order to please those wives, sometimes you're not able to please the Lord, because not all those wives are going to be loyal to the Lord. And so we find Solomon made errors in that regard. And then we find out that if you multiply horses, you depend on your military might rather than upon God to fight your battles. And so it turns out that Solomon in many ways defied simple, important biblical principles, and yet there was a period of time in his life when he was considered wiser than any other king on this earth. We often say he was the wisest man apart from the Lord Jesus that lived on this earth, but I don't think that's wholly accurate. I think at the early part of his life, the early part of his reign, he was wiser than any other king. And when the Queen of Sheba came to hear his wisdom, she understood that he was living in fellowship with the Lord and he had great wisdom. So when we look at the book of the Proverbs, we're looking at the practical wisdom of Solomon, who was at that time a spiritual man. But we're going to look at Ecclesiastes, and Ecclesiastes is also associated with Solomon, and that's going to be the practical wisdom of a worldly man, a man who had departed from his true loyalty to the Lord. But at the time this was written, some think he may have been restored to the Lord. And then we have the Song of Solomon, which is a beautiful picture of the relationship between a bride and either her bridegroom or her husband, depending on how you look at certain of the passages, but it's the spiritual wisdom of a very spiritual man. Now, the theme of the Proverbs really has to do with the fear of the Lord. Proverbs chapter 1 verse 7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." Now, this same idea is found in Proverbs 9 and verse 10, where it says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." Now, I've said before on this program that when we look at the fear of the Lord, we're not looking always at fear and trembling. We're looking at respect. We're looking at reverence. But sometimes it is fear and trembling. But the fear of the Lord has to do with recognizing that there's a God in heaven who we are accountable to, and it has to do with our accountability. And so some people feared idols. But if you were a true worshiper of the Lord, you feared the Lord, and you recognized your accountability to the Lord. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. But sometimes in the Bible, worship was looked at as calling upon the Lord. That's who we pray to. And that's the one that we feel has control over our lives and is able to intimately interact with us. We pray to him expecting answers to our prayers, and that shows that we believe in a real living relationship with this one that we are accountable to. So calling upon the Lord instead of calling upon idols, praying to the Lord instead of praying to the idols is what the Old Testament demanded of the children of Israel, and the fear of the Lord went along with that. Those who feared the Lord were recognizing their accountability to him. And so the fear of the Lord is a prominent theme in the book of Proverbs. And when we look at we could look at a number of verses that we should remember in the book of the Proverbs, but I just want to note that Proverbs 14 and verse 12 is repeated as Proverbs 16 and verse 25, and it's something that we all need to remember whether we're saved or whether we're unsaved. And it says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but the end is the way of death. And that's why, before we're saved, we have to have our minds changed. We have to repent in order to believe. We want to tell God how to save us, and God wants to tell us how to be saved. And so when we look at this passage, it's not only salvation, a salvation principle that we're looking at, but it's a principle with regard to each of us after we're saved. We all want to tell God how to do his work, how to set up his church, how to be worshiped. We often say, well, it seems to me, and we try to use cultural examples of why the Bible no longer is up to date. And I just been reminded of this verse where Solomon, while he was still in fellowship with the Lord and realized the value of the fear of the Lord, he could say, there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end is the way of death. And so we need to understand that Solomon is trying to keep us from making mistakes, and in a very practical way, he has laid out principles that are valuable to us in a practical way. He's teaching often a younger man, a son, and he wants them to avoid the mistakes and the pitfalls that are quite normal in the lives of each person that's born into this world. So we read in Isaiah 55, my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And we could all afford to spend a little time reading the book of the Proverbs to keep ourselves in the love and fear of the Lord, and to recognize what it really means to have our minds changed to agree with God so that we can trust him, not only for salvation, but for the affairs of life. Now, our Heavenly Father, we ask you to bless our lesson and to bless all who have listened. We thank you for salvation through faith in your Son, the Lord Jesus. We pray in his name. Amen. Now, our mailing address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.com, bdcministries.com, and we do thank you for listening.